Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to this evening's meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Somebody in the chamber have their speaker on. Everyone can hear me clearly. Okay. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item as not to take part in any of the votes. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work in the queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precincts. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those in the chamber have spoken. Members are also reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. So, on to apologies.
Chair, an apology from Councillor McAvoy.
Okay. On to Chairperson's remarks. So, this month has been one of relatively all of its sporting achievements across our district. I want to extend congratulations to Kilcoo on their incredible success in winning the Senior Football Championship, their 13th title in the last 14 championship finals, and their 23rd championship overall. It's an extraordinary record and a testament to their consistency, commitment, and dedication. Closer to home in my own DEA, we witnessed the true local derby as Cleef and Arglass went head-to-head in the Junior Football Championship final. Someone who's married into a very strong Cleef family, I have to admit it was disappointing to come out on the losing side. However, it's comfort knowing that the neighbours who lifted the title, especially given the many families and ties links within the both communities. Staying with Cleef, I'd like to say that the heartache and the narrow missing out on three finals in the Senior Camogie and Hurling, it remains a remarkable achievement for such a small parish to reach three finals in one season. That alone speaks volumes to the determination, talent and spirit within one club. I also want to take the opportunity to wish St. Patrick FC every success with their new homes in Dunn's Avenue as they continue to grow the game at grassroots level here in our county town. Closer to council, our own school's cross-country event at Dunleith Plainfields was a huge success, a marked milestone occasion, final event organised by our very own Pat Powers. Pat has dedicated over 20 years of organising this event, and his passion for sports development within the council will be sorely missed in the years to come. I'd also like to take the opportunity to welcome the appointment of the first ever Irish Language and Ulster Scots Commissioners. These commissioners will play a vital role in engaging, collaborating and representing those who celebrate the use of Irish language in Ulster Scots. I know these appointments will be warmly welcomed by many right across our district. I'm sure both councillors and staff will look forward to working with them in the months ahead. During my time as Cathaoirleach, I've spoken with many residents and organisations who are eagerly anticipating these appointments and who are undoubtedly relieved and delighted to see them realised. For many across our district, the appointment of the Irish Language Commissioner is a monumental step forward for Gaeilge and Éire, Mourne and Down. It represents the practical expression of Act of Gaeilge, taking effect, enhancing and protecting the language across our public services and everyday life. The Irish language is thriving and continue to grow, and this new dedicated commissioner will ensure that the growth is secured and strengthened, not just here, but right across the north. Also in my term in office, I will remain committed to supporting local young people across Éire, Mourne and Down. As part of Local Democracy Week, I was delighted to welcome 11 schools from across Éire, Mourne and Down to take part in my Dragon's Den initiative, where pupils present the motions and issues that matter most to them. Thanks to my fellow councillors and members of the Youth Council who helped host the event, particularly Councillors Quinn, King and Bowsey, for their time and support. Congratulations to Louis Kilkeel, whose motion was selected as the winning proposal. James, excuse me. Seeing so many young people engaging passionately in local democracy gives me great hope for the future. It's inspiring to witness the next generation already thinking about how they can shape our communities for the betterment of all. I find it is a true privilege to attend the 50th anniversary dinner for St. Columbfield's Primary School here in Downpatrick. As a former student, I know all too well the commitment and dedication of teaching staff, past and present, to the pupils of St. Columbfield's. I want to thank them for a wonderful evening and every success for the next 50 years. So, moving on to item number 2 on the agenda is declarations of interest. No? Okay. Item 3, action sheet arises from the council meeting held on the 6th of October 2025. Move for accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3 and 4. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Clark, seconder. Mr. Brennan, any matters arising? Nope. Okay, we'll move on to item number 4 on the agenda. This is minutes of the council meeting held on the 6th of October 2025. We'll go through them for accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Professor Byrne? Seconder? Professor Clark? Any matters arising? No? Okay. Moving on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 29th of September. And we'll go through them once again for accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3, and 4. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Professor O'Hara, seconder, Councillor Lee Sergeant. Any matters arising? Nope. Okay. On to item number 6 on the agenda, which is minutes of the audit committee meeting held on the 25th of September 2025. With room for accuracy, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor Devlin, and seconded by Councillor Byrne. Any matters arising? No? Okay. We'll go on to item number 7 on the agenda, the Minutes of Economic Regeneration and Tourism Committee, held on the 13th of September 2025. Once again, we'll go through for accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Have a proposer and a seconder, please. Proposed Councillor Lee Sergeant, seconder. Councillor Rowan. Any matters arising? Okay. Going to item number 8 on the agenda, which is the Minutes from the Strategy, Policy and Resource Committee meeting held on the 16th of October 2025. Three fragments, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor Lewis, seconder. Mr. Hardy. Councillor Bising.
On behalf of our DUP group, I'd like to welcome the Ulster Scots Working Group. We have worked to secure for many years, first time in this council's 10-year history, the British, Protestant, Unionist and Loyalist traditions will be formally recognised within the council's democratic processes. As we have highlighted already, it is important that the scope and naming of this working group reflects a significant minority within our district who also identifies as Ulster British. We appreciate the agreement of the other parties to put this to the new working group. This goes some way to addressing the unionist concerns we have outlined in recent months.
Thank you, Councillor Bowser. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, Chair, just for accuracy of the minutes, just to record my presence at the SPNR committee. Excluded from that one.
Thank you very much, Councillor McAteer. We'll make the amendments. Okay. So, moving on to item number 9, which is the minutes of the Active Healthy Communities Committee, held on the 20th of October 2025. Three for accuracy, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Jackson, seconder, Councillor Murphy. Any matters arising? Councillor Bowser?
I just want to wish our DA coordinator, Ellen Brennan, all the best in her retirement. I think she has been in the council for about 40 years. Something like that, and has been a great help to many groups within the Rowallan DA. So as DA chairman, just want to pass on our forum's thanks and just to say all the best to Nicola White as she takes over the role.
Thank you, Councillor Bowsey, and I would concur with that. Somebody's worked with Ellen for a number of years. She's been a real credit to Newry Morning Down District Council and to your own DEA. Councillor Devlin?
Thank you, Chair. I've just got a comment in relation to the Downpatrick DEA, the multi-sports hub review. I know in tandem with that at the committee, I'm no longer on the committee longer, Chair, we had been discussing the need for a running track in the district, and that was something that was being sort of discussed and raised alongside the Downpatrick DEA multi-sports hub. Now, I know that Councillor King at the last meeting had looked for a timescale around how long that consultation was going to take place. I suppose the outworking of that would hopefully be, Andy, whenever that review comes back, if it is the stage whereby there isn't available land for a running track in Downpatrick, and I know I'd be more than content with it being anywhere in East Down as the running clubs, but if we get to that point and there's no available lands and we have to, can we maybe then just cast the net that bit wider outside of Downpatrick to see if we can then look at filling the need within the sports facility strategy for the running track in East Down? I think would be really important to still have that on the agenda, a bit of focus on that, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, through the chair, certainly what we would do is bring back the consultation results to Downpatrick DEA councillors, and then both following that information, we would come back with proposals in terms of what's next. But it's hard to predict prior to having that consultation.
Councillor Andrews?
Thanks so much, Chair. I would echo the sentiments expressed by Councillor Colin Bowsey in regards to Alan Brennan. You know, I've known Alan for many years, and since I've joined council back in 2011, in the various departments within council, always found her helpful and very kind and considerate, and she's shone brilliantly as a DEA coordinator for a while and since 2014. And I wish her all the best. I hope she's a long and happy retirement, and I would wish our new coordinator, Nicola, all the best, and look forward to working with her as our new coordinator in Rowallan, the best DEA in the district, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews, and I'd have to argue against that. It was a Downpatrick one. Councillor Lee Sergeant.
Thank you, Chair. I too will be echo like some of my Rowallan colleagues here, Councillor Andrews and Councillor Bowsey, in regards to Alan Brennan. She is one of the kind coordinator. She will be missed. She has definitely assisted all of us in every way possible. She is a fantastic woman. I wish her every happy retirement. And I wish Nicola every best.
Thank you, David. Okay, so moving on to item number 10 on the agenda, which is Minister of Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 22nd of October 2025. Once again, the 3-4 accuracy. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Hurd, seconded by Councillor Murphy. Any matters arising? Councillor Riley?
Yes, Chairman. Chairman, it was just on the issue of the climate change bill and our submission that the Council is giving. I would just like to point out, Chairman, that the UFU unanimously voted a motion of no confidence in DERA in relation to the Nitrogen Action Plan and issues relating to the Climate Act. And I have to say, Chairman, I was very disappointed that the SDLP Alliance and Sinn Féin basically refused to give my notice of motion serious consideration, given the potential for the present Climate Act to seriously damage our vital farming industry if implemented in the way that DERA are proposing. It will not be possible for the farmers of South Armagh or the Mourne area to diversify into producing seed crops for biofuel. But DERA and the Minister seem determined to basically stop livestock production that those South Armagh and Mourne farmers depend on to make a living. If sheep, pork, beef and milk production are drastically reduced to reduce Northern Ireland's carbon emissions, it will destroy the vibrant agricultural sector that thousands of jobs depend on. And Chairman, I would like to propose that this Council declares its support for the Ulster Farmers Union vote of no confidence and write to the Minister advising him of our decision, because this is getting to tipping point, Chairman. And farmers from South Armagh, I know many of them. I used to work in that area for the Department of Agriculture. I know dozens of them. From South Armagh to St. Field, they're very, very concerned about this, and they would like the Council to. It would be a token of understanding our present situation. And I think it would be fitting for the council, given the seriousness of it, that we do acknowledge the Ulster Farmers Union vote and declare our support for their present position. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Rennie, for the seconder for that proposal.
Happy to second that proposal,
Councillor Taylor.
Chair, just a few comments just to support what Councillor Riley has said.
First of all, is the Chamber in agreement? Councillor Taylor?
Yep. Chair, just a few comments just to, I suppose, support what Councillor Riley has said in respect, you know, of the comments. It's a seismic moment in many ways that the Ulster Farmers Union have felt the need to be at this point. They're certainly an organisation with a long and respected history, and they've always been very constructive in their engagement with the Department of Agriculture, and to find themselves in this situation now shows how serious.
Thanks.
Where we are, okay?
Yep.
Could Councillor Riley email that proposal, just because I don't think the members in the chamber picked up the detail of it. Yeah, if you could send it to Sarah, that would be great. Sarah has just sent that by email to members.
In light of Councillor Reddy's proposal there, will we suggest a 5-minute recess so we can discuss it further?
Yeah.
Proposal yeah. Second, that Councillor Flynn and Councillor Byrne? Okay.
Back at half.
We're back at half. Thank you, everyone. All right, we've had an opportunity to look at the proposal from Councillor Reilly. Is there agreement in the chamber? No? Record a vote. Is the vote? Councillor Reddy's request for a recorded vote.
Councillor Andrews is absent. Councillor Bowsey? Councillor Brennan? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Campbell?
Yes.
Councillor Clark? Yes. Councillor Devlin is absent. Councillor Enright?
Against.
Councillor Fehan? Councillor Finn? Councillor Galbraith? Councillor Gibbons?
Against.
Councillor Hanlon? Yes. Councillor Hannah? Sure. Councillor Hart? Councillor Hardy? Councillor Howell?
Against.
Councillor Howie? Councillor Jackson? Councillor Kearns? Councillor Orlicking? Councillor Cahill-King? Councillor Larkin? Absent. Councillor Lee Surgener? Councillor Lewis? Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Mathers? Councillor McAteer? Absent. Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor Declan Murphy? Councillor Kate Murphy? Councillor Selena Murphy? Councillor O'Hara? Councillor Quinn?
Yes.
Councillor Riley? Councillor Rice? Councillor Rowan? Councillor Taylor? Councillor Tinley?
Against.
Councillor Treesdale? Councillor Young? I have 6-4 and 30 against and no abstentions.
Motion falls. Okay. Any other matters arising? Any other matters arising? Nope. Okay. Moving on to item number 11 on the agenda, which is plan section. There's nothing to report. Item number 12 is correspondence report. We have a proposer and a seconder for the correspondence report. Proposed Councillor Murphy, seconded Councillor Kate Murphy. Any matters arising? Councillor Hannah?
Chair, I'm just on item there 12.1. The resurfacing and long-term of the name A-Route between Kilkeen and Newcastle, known again to Restraver, though they haven't mentioned it. I just find this a very disappointing response. The Minister blames the same old things. This road needs substantial work, and the widening of the road at the Ballock is only a matter of about 20 yards, so it is. And I tell you, if you're on that road and met two lorries meet on it, or two buses or anything like that, they have to actually stop to get past each other. I just honestly think, and then the last couple of paragraphs, to be quite honest with you, saying that the police say there's no reports of anything. This is a problem that seems to be happening at the moment. There's lots of places there where the road needs repaired. There's accidents at those spots there, and there's nothing actually being recorded with the police. Although the accidents have taken place, the police hardly ever go out to anything now, so they don't list extremely serious accidents at this. So just on the whole tone of the letter, to be quite honest, extremely disappointing. So it is just so disappointed in the response. It's a bit all I can say, just disappointing response.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Or sorry, Councillor Riley.
Yes, Chairman. Very disappointed. There's some of the works that would really improve that road could be done as minor work schemes. That's how simple a lot of the things could be done on it. And like to say that only six dead, you know, like six people's a lot of families, to, you know, dismiss that or to dismiss our application to get work done based on the fact that there's only six dead, I think that's a slap in the face for those families, Chairman. And I'm very, very disappointed that was included in the letter.
Mr. Clark?
Chair, just to concur with the other member. Obviously, the issue is sort of centralised around the Bala, Bala area, the area known as St. Patrick's Stream. But it is extremely narrow at that junction, or that area. And as other members have said, you know, a small scheme to improve it would have a great benefit. At the end of the day, this, tourism is our main industry. And you find even camper vans and that can't pass at that location. And that's our main artery. They too is the main artery from Kilkeel right down to Cologne from Newcastle. You've also got, you know, the fishing industry and the aggregates industry and large lorries, you know, using that road. And it's just not safe. And as other members have said, there has been loads of accidents on it, but they're not reported. Wing mirrors have been lost to buses and lorries, you know. So, and there's also then, from the Ballagh area, that St. Patrick's Stream, the footpath ends there. You know, there's no footpath from that location right to the Bloody Bridge car park. So it's extremely dangerous for pedestrians as well. And that's a bit more complicated with land ownership and stuff like that. But I just feel that this main artery, you know, it's not given the credence that it needs. In regards to us being able to develop our tourism industry and plus our manufacturing industries. So I do feel that, you know, there's pieces of work we could be looking at, small pieces of work, in regards to improving the road surface. I think it's the worst stretch of road from Bala to Glasdrumma. It actually pulls you, when you drive, I drive it every day going to work up the South Valley, it'll pull you right into near the ditch, and that's because of collapsed drains and collapsed roads. So there's a real drainage problem on that section of road. No, and I appreciate it because of austerity and the British Tories, that the money has been reduced over a decade. I understand that point of view, but still, schemes should be worked up. Schemes should be looked at. And we can't count, you know, on deaths and accidents, you know, just solely, you know. We have to look at improving our infrastructure. We're, at the end of the day, you know, we're paying our taxes in that area like everywhere else. And every day it rains, that whole road is saturated, flooded. Areas have been flooded. You know, gardens and homes are in danger of being flooded when there's torrential rain. So from a drainage point of view, that has to be, you know, resolved. You know, we just can't continually, people can't pass through that area because of the torrential rainfall. That's just not acceptable. The alternative then is up by Spelga. People have to go, and that's not the best road either. You know, so I do think we should write back and maybe take what members are saying. You know, even as more in DAA councillors, we could maybe meet the minister and have a discussion. Because I think this is a report coming back from roads officials, and it's the same reply we get all the time. And our, you know, constituents are fed up by hearing it. You know, they have to travel to work. It's the main commuting road for people going to Belfast from the Mourns. You know, so I think a meeting with the minister would be worthwhile. So I propose that to you.
Okay. Are we in agreement in the chamber? Yep. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to echo the sentiments that have been said already by Councillor Hannah and Councillor Clark. It's a treacherous stretch of road, especially as you're going past Shannock Moor. There seems to be a drainage issue that's been there forever, and we can engineer our way out of most things. It can't be beyond the realms of possibility to engineer our way out of this one. Six collisions resulting in injury and death. That particular spot is notorious for deer coming down off the mountain. Now, I don't know if anybody collects the statistics on how many people have hit deer, which means if you do, you have nowhere to go in the car because you have the sea on one side and a wall on the other. So, yeah, there definitely is what Councillor Clark said, absolutely 100% behind it. There's definitely something that has to be done on that stretch of road. So thank you for proposing that.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, if I could just comment on the response from the South Easter Trust in regards to our latest correspondence. Just note that the Chief Executive had written that she wasn't basically going to engage with Council anymore. It's been clarified to the Council in this further correspondence, and they'll not be making any further comments. I just wanted to make the point that we as elected representatives don't choose what we, you know, what our constituents bring to our door and what they want us to raise in Council. So I find that comment insulting at the very least. There's no doubt that Urgent Care in Downpatrick is an excellent facility. The staff there are second to none, and I hear really good reports of, from a lot of the patients. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there is a very active campaign to bring back A&E in the Down, and we can't dismiss that. And I just wanted to make that point.
Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Councillor Quinn?
Thanks. Sorry, thanks, Chair, for letting me in. It's just in regards to 12.3 of the letter from the Home Office in regards to voting for 16 to 17 year olds. But while we welcome the intention to introduce votes across the North, we are deeply disappointed by the lack of urgency and the apparent absence of enthusiasm from the UK government to make this a reality. You mentioned earlier, I attended the Democracy Week, and the cohort of the age group was relatively 16, 17 year olds, and the engagement in terms of democracy was brilliant. So then people having to wait 7 years in order to exercise their right to vote is very, very disappointing. And the tone from the government gives little reassurance that they are engaged in allowing young people's voices to be prioritised. So we would really want to see the government demonstrate, the UK government demonstrating a genuine commitment to empowering the next generation and not leaving them 7 years behind. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Quinn. The other matters arising. Yeah, move on to item number 13. And apologies. Councillor Hart?
Just on 12.7, the NAC AGM and conference. Is there not an NAC AGM here in the North?
Councillor Andrews?
Sorry.
Thank you very much. All 462 councillors and over 11 councils were circulated regularly. They get emails, newsletters from the NAC and regular emails outlining and informing dates of such meetings. And, you know, Councillor Joe Boyle and Hazel and the NAC office are very much good at their job. And also the AGM was held in September in the Glenavon House Hotel for the 11 councils to come along, to appoint representatives, etc., and for an update on the work of the NAC in Northern Ireland.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Great.
So I suppose the items on the agenda, it's been just to clarify, is there agreement that there will be no one attending from this council? As there is an AGM in Northern Ireland, or is there representation to go to the AGM in England?
Sure. Yes, sir. Anna?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just on this, I don't know, I've never heard any feedback that's really been that overly constructive to our benefit from this, and actually I did write this in there and say and respond to it whenever I did respond on behalf of ourselves. Somebody would have to explain to me there what benefit we're going to get from this, and just at this moment in time, I don't see any benefit, so I don't see the sense in sending anybody.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I had a question around what Valerie Hart had raised in the AGM in Northern Ireland. We decided a process of going through this through group leaders, and I think it's the best way to go to conferences, that we have agreement across all political parties. The reason why we've done that is because we want the content of the meeting that we're sending people to on ratepayers' money to reflect the business that help us in our business here in council. So I don't think we can have, you know, a parachute decision on all conferences. I think it depends on what the issue of the conference is. I think the last time we discussed this, it was around blue light services, and then health hasn't got to do with us in council. This is around education, which has not got to do with us in council. So we have to be responsible in spending ratepayers' money. The other point that I do have, and people to be cognizant of when it comes back to party leaders for conferences, we can't hammer people for doing the jobs that we elect them to into roles in this council. When we come to the AGMs of our council at the start of the year, we elect people out to outside bodies. So we can't elect three people in this council to be members for this council on NAC and then say that you can't go to NAC meetings. So we've got to find a way forward. But I do agree that on this conference, it doesn't meet the needs of the council in terms of education. The AGM has just passed in Northern Ireland. No need to go to the AGM in England, so I do propose we don't send anybody, but we have to be smarter going forward on how we use our NSE reps. Otherwise, don't put them on the body in the first place.
Excuse me, Chair, what we could do is we can bring something back to the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee in relation to the NAC, but the NAC members on this council would be invited, like all NAC members, to all of the meetings in Northern Ireland and would be...
Through the Chair, I'd ask them to take in mind that there was a similar issue was raised in Antrim and Newton Abbey Council. And under 3.1 G/MSMO, Scheme of Allowances Payable to Councillors 25-26. The purpose of this report is to update the Scheme of Allowances Payable to Councillors 25-26 for approval. This was in Antrim and Newton Abbey Council. The following is one of the entries and our scheme of allowances. Following queries in relation to members appointed to outside bodies, attendant relevant conferences, meetings or events of that outside body, members are directed to section 9.2 of the scheme. This section details a list of approved duties of councillors, which include conferences, meetings and events of those outside bodies and organisations, which a member has been nominated by the council and has been requested by the body or organisation to represent it, hence AGM in England or Scotland, wherever. For clarification, this enables members to attend such relevant conferences, meetings and events without further council approval. To ensure appropriate budgetary control, members should contact the chief executive or the relevant director prior to our commitment to attending the event. And there's other councils, Marie, in Northern Ireland, that without any hesitation or doubt, the representatives of the NSA go to the likes of these AGMs without a question. I am conscious of the cost of the ratepayer, and you know, and I just feel that as an NSA rep, there's other NSA reps here, and because of full-time work commitments, they can't attend the daytime meetings, you know what I mean? And that's because the job's the full-time, whereas I have the time to do it. And the reason why I felt that, as Councillor Burns said, this council, at the start of its mandate, appoints councillors to outside bodies, you know, and organisations. And I feel that we should be looking at this, you know, that there should be uniformity right across the 11 councils. If other councils can do it, and if councils have a policy in place, there's no problem. You know, I'm conscious of the costs. The AGM, I'm appointed to an organisation, and I'm proud to represent it, and I'm proud to represent this council and my party. And I feel myself that if a councillor is appointed, then if there is an annual general meeting, this council pays for membership of the NAC. Well, then members who are appointed to the NAC from all parties should have the opportunity to say yay or nay. And if nobody wants to go, fair and square. But that's my comments, and I felt I had to open up from the heart here, because anything I've been appointed to, I give it 110% of attendance. And I go everywhere, and some of them call me a serial attender, but I do attend, and I represent my party, I represent my council, and I'm there to do a job to which I've been appointed to. So I do hope that what I've said is taken into consideration as well. I think myself, personally, that this needs to be sorted once and for all.
Councillor Andrews, Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah,
Yeah, and look, I very much appreciate that this is, was agreed, that it goes through party leaders, but I just wanted to ask a question in terms of, we don't really know the content of the AGM or the agenda, but councillors' role in shaping education in Scotland, in my mind, would be very, very different to what it is in the north of Ireland. Is that something that should be taken into consideration? I mean, it is a different political makeup in Scotland, so to me, that would draw my attention to the fact that it probably isn't relevant for councillors here. So therefore, we're spending upwards of £1,000 to go over to be presented back, because that was the agreement, that a presentation has to be made to councillors who don't attend whenever it isn't really relevant to us. So I don't think, Councillor Andrews, it's about preventing you going for the sake of preventing you, but it's what value are we going to get for all other 40 councillors sitting in the chamber on this particular occasion?
So I'll finish.
Mr. Andrews,
Sorry.
You've had your opportunity to
speak.
Well,
can I not reply to the point?
Right,
made
reply,
colleague?
But keep it short and keep it
I will keep it short. It is important. I was asked by the NEC national level to do a presentation, do an evening talk on Northern Ireland. They wanted to hear what was going on in Northern Ireland regarding fuel poverty and the cost of living crisis. It's a two-way street. We learn from them and they learn from us. So this, you know, everybody's learning. That's what you should be sharing each other's experiences, and it's not a waste of time.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Okay. Moving on to item number 13, the notice of motion, reporting of criminal damage and understanding order 16.1.6 as B.
I took from that debate the not.
Okay, Councillor Byrne.
Is it just clarifying from the last one? I proposed that we don't send anyone this time. And just reflect on the comments of Councillor Hannan very briefly. When it comes to party leaders, having the information of maybe presentations that are coming from the north to Scotland and Scotland back would be useful for us to make a decision. We're making a decision based on ratepayers' money and spend it going to the conferences that would benefit us as a council. So if we have that information from the NSC, Maurice had a paper come back to the committee about the NSC meetings coming forward, then we could make a more informed decision. Otherwise, we're going on a headline on an education setting in Scotland, and parties are always going to say no on ratepayers' money to that. So I propose this time that we don't send anybody, but don't close it off, and let's have a paper come back in NSC.
Seconder for that, Councillor Byrne? Councillor Hart, thank you. Everybody in agreement? Yes, thank you. Okay, notice of motion, item number 13, notice of motion reporting criminal damage, understanding order 16.1.6, as we refer to SPNR. Councillor Hannah, would you like to read your motion and inform us as to who is seconding it?
Would you go? This council really will be seconding this. This council should report all incidents of criminal damage to council property to PSNI promptly as soon as possible after the damage has been discovered. This is to assist police building a picture of criminal damage in an area so resources can be secured by local police to address the problem.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Moving on to item number 14, notice of motion closure of local primary schools. This will be held at the Thistleby Heard of Council. Councillor King, would you like to read your motion? Tell us a second.
Thanks, Chair. Can I just let it be known that there is an amendment to the original motion and it's gone through to Democratic Services. I believe Councillor Tinley will be the second proposer of this motion. Is he online for confirmation? I think he was.
Yeah, I am, yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
Go ahead, Councillor King.
That this council notes with deep concern the proposal by the Council for Catholic Maintained Schools, CCMS, to close both St Malachy's Primary School Caliph and Cullowan Primary School Restrebor by August 2027. Whilst recognising that the final decision is subject to a public consultation, it is the position of this council that any subsequent closure of these schools will be significantly detrimental to the children of these areas, their families and the wider communities. In relation to St Malky's Cliff, it recognises the deep roots and long-standing contribution of the school to community life and acknowledges a strong opposition to closure from parents, staff, pupils and residents. Council further believes that all efforts should be made to explore viable alternatives to closure, including the potential expansion of special educational needs SEN provision on the existing site to serve families across the wider district. In relation to Killowen, were the proposed closure to be confirmed, this council is concerned at the potential negative impact that the decision may have on the main Catholic primary school within the Cabrini Parish, namely St Brona's Primary School in Restrever. This council will formally write to the CCMS to express our opposition to these proposed closures and request that they may be withdrawn forthwith. Furthermore, we request that engagement between CCMS and the Board of Governors recommence at the earliest opportunity to ensure the children of both schools can continue to be educated on the site that best suits their needs, and just as importantly, where generations of their families, friends and neighbours were previously taught. We also ask that the CCMS explore opportunities to invest in and expand SEN provision at the St Malky's site to meet growing regional demand. I am asking this council tonight to support our motion opposing the proposed closure of St Malky's School, Caliph and the Killowen Primary School. These schools are more than just buildings. They are the heart of our rural communities. For generations, they have been giving children a strong educational foundation, a sense of belonging and a connection to place. Closing them would not only remove local provision, but weaken the very fabric of community life. In Caliph, St Malky's has deep roots and strong parental support. The proposal to close it ignores the evidence of continued local need and parental confidence. It also conflicts with the principles set out in the Policy for Sustainable Schools and the Bain Report and the Rural Act, the Rural Needs Act 2016, all of which stress that sustainability is about more than numbers. It is about accessibility, quality and community contribution. If the department and the CCMS are serious about rural proofing, then they must consider the impact on small communities like Caliph and Killowen, not simply apply one-size-fits-all policy. Instead of closure, we should be looking at alternative options, particularly in the potential to expand special educational needs provision at St Malky's, that would meet growing regional demand, protect local employment and strengthen education for all. For Killowen, closure risks placing additional strain on St Brona's and Restrever, which already faces enrolment pressures. The wider educational impact has not been fully assessed. So this motion is not just about two schools. It's about fairness for rural families, balanced development across our district, and ensuring that every child has access to quality education close to home. I urge colleagues to stand with the parents, pupils and staff who have worked tirelessly to save their schools. Let's send a clear message to the CCMS and the Department of Education. Withdraw these closure proposals, engage with local governors, invest in rural education, don't dismantle it. Because once a rural school is gone, it's gone forever. And our communities deserve better than that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor King. Councillor Tinley, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to Councillor King for bringing the motion. Just to add a few lines, Chairman. The closure of rural primary schools has noticeably increased over the past number of years, and despite the almost unanimous opposition to these moves by the local communities most affected, it appears that the concerns and opposition of these very communities is routinely ignored. These closures should never become normalised, nor should they go unchallenged. Whilst recognising that each rural school may have their own unique challenges, the true value of these institutions cannot be measured in monetary terms alone. Oftentimes, the threat of closure hangs like the sword of Damocles over these schools, not unlike the uncertainty around the local hospitals. And this frequently becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, as parents relocate their children to other schools not under threat. Decreasing the numbers in the rural school as a result, and inadvertently giving the Council for Catholic Maintained Schools justification for their scorched earth policy. This Council needs to stand with our rural communities by standing firm in our opposition to these closures. And as such, I fully support Councillor King's motion. Thank you, Chairperson.
Councillor Rice.
Gormley, I've got chair. The potential closure of Glowan Primary School is one that has come with great shock to the parents, school staff and the children of the village. The school has brought together generations of families in Glowan and remains at the core of rural and parish life. I recently attended the public consultation in Restrabor a few weeks back. Parents and local parishioners were united in their opposition to a potential closure of the primary school. Their concerns were not just on the impact of the local community in Glowan, but the fact that any closure will impact on the young children and it will also have place an immense pressure on the education of young people in the entire parish, and in particular the pupils of St Brona's Restrabor. Parents and school leaders are deeply committed to ensuring both schools continue to grow and flourish. It is vital that children can continue to access education close to home in a nurturing and community-based setting. My colleagues in the Assembly have written to the Education Minister and to the Education Authority to work with the CCMS to fully consider all available options to safeguard its future. But now that the public consultation has concluded, it is vital that the concerns and responses are taken on board and all options must be considered to secure a sustainable future for Glowan Primary School.
Thank you, Councillor Rice. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. We in the DUP, as with any development proposal, it is essential that the views of parents, pupils and staff, many of whom have generational links with the schools, are afforded the time, space and respect to make known their views and concerns. The review of maintained primary school provision in the Strangford and Caliph and Kilbrone areas is ultimately a matter for the Council of Catholic Maintained Schools, and it is they who will bring any final proposal on school provision in the area to the Education Minister for decision. Therefore, it is critical that stakeholders and local community have their say now. We understand that the pre-publication consultations with parents, staff and governors at St Malachy's will take place this year. Operational Plan 2 of the Strategic Area Plan makes establishing specialist provision in mainstream schools a short-term work stream. Therefore, we can support the motion's call for proactive engagement by the EA with this school, these schools to explore whether the conditions could exist to provide SEN unit at the schools accessible to children in the local areas. The Education Minister has brought forward an ambitious SEN capital investment programme and would be more than willing to engage with any school to hear their ideas and proposals for addressing present challenges in the meeting demand for the flexibility and agile specialist provision. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Lee Sargentner. Councillor Hannah, you're there.
Oh, sorry.
Councillor Lee Sargentner.
Thank you, Chair. On behalf of the Alliance Party, I'm pleased to support tonight's motion for ways to preserve rural schools like St Malachy's and Clowen. I've had the opportunity to deliver workshops in St Malachy's in the past myself. I've seen firsthand the warm, nurturing environment created by the teachers in that school, and it's clear how deeply they care for their pupils and how central the school is to rural life of that community. In Caliph, rural schools like St Malachy's don't just provide education, they provide connection and stability for families, and as other contributors have said, you know, for generations. So every effort should be made to sustain that. Absolutely, one possible avenue could be exploring specialist integrated school provision, which might help secure the school's future while promoting inclusion and shared learning. We all want to see rural education protected and strengthened, and I hope this motion helps move us towards that goal. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Sargentner. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, Chair, just to outline my strong support for the motion as well. I think on too many occasions we see our education authorities taking really the easy option and trying to close schools rather than looking and having a genuine interest in looking at alternative options that would help retain the school. On those occasions, there's really little regard given to the impact that it has on that local community, particularly those communities in rural areas, where really the school is the main fabric of that area. And unfortunately, I've seen it myself, where they really don't give the due consideration and take on board the concerns that are outlined whenever these decisions are being made. And I certainly think they should be looking at exploring other options whenever they are available. And as has been outlined here tonight,
there is the possibility of it being used for, you know, special educational needs, and we are seeing an ever increasing demand for that support within education. So they really should look long and hard at that proposal, and I hope, you know, and certainly hope for the community's sake, that they will take the genuine concerns that there are on this issue on board, because it has an impact on not only the children, the families, and the wider community in the area. And I say I've experienced this myself in the young DEA, and I just believe that the education authorities should be given more consideration to the impact that it does have on communities whenever decisions like this are being taken. But if there is a way of, you know, looking at other options, they should do that and give that serious consideration, because it's not enough to just, sometimes you feel like they're paying lip service to it, but when you have a serious proposal here, it should be looked at. And I certainly hope that, you know, by the end of this term, schools will be retained and we'll have a positive outcome for those rural communities. But say, I hope our council here, you know, we're obviously all fully in support of what's been proposed here, but hope they certainly take as part of those representations the strong support that we have outlined as a council whenever they're making any decisions going forward.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Mack is here.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, and just to come in and support the motion for the two schools in question, I just say basically that, you know, this is a pattern over the last 10 to 15 years, really, of what I would call an assault on the rural community, an assault on basically a group of, you know, widespread people who aren't, you know, there's no there's a collective in the communities, in the rural community, but it's not as concentrated as in a town. And I do think that they're, you know, seen as a soft touch in a sense. So just close the local school down and destroy that local cohesion there is built up many centuries. And we have a pattern that has taken on for many, many years. I think it's disgraceful and disgusting, really, that we're still doing this. And there's an agenda to carry this out. Nothing's been achieved in the long term, you know, on the basis of slashing and farm rural schools at all. There's no benefit out of it, only the destruction of what's left of the rural community. So, I mean, I think we should be fully supportive of that. And, you know, we as a council, again, even on our local development plan, build the like of that into our plan where we look at our rural schools and build around the rural schools, build and enhance the community involvement around that, providing housing around them to sustain them. So I think it's a bigger issue than even just the two schools. It has to be looked at in a wider sense and more holistically as well. So thank you, Chair, for supporting the motion.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. And just thank Councillor King for bringing this motion. Obviously, it's something that's quite close to me as well. I've families, my in-laws of generations have gone through St. Malachy's School in particular. We can't allow the erosion of our rural schools, and given very much the rural nature of Nuremberg Morning Down, we need to fight to keep these schools from closing. It's essential. It's been touched upon here a lot now, just within the debate within the chamber. It's not just a school. A lot of these schools are connections between our communities where families come together and where they meet. Really great, and we'll have a lot of extra programs outside of the school term, school year. Quite recently, I just visited, we had the school pumpkin patch event at St. Malachy's Primary School. So it's not just about the education, which is highly impactful within the local community, but it's also what it brings to the local community. So yes, thank you for bringing this motion, Councillor King. Would you like to sum up?
Thanks, Chair. I would just like to say I appreciate unanimous support tonight for this motion, so thank you.
Is everybody in agreement then? Yep, okay. Moving on to item number 15 on the agenda. Yep. Understanding order 16.1.6, this will be heard at ERT. Councillor Feehan, would you like to read your motion, please, and tell us if you second it?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The motion reads that this Council acknowledges the ongoing issue of dereliction and dilapidation in town and city centres across the district. Council recognises that the revitalisation of these derelict and dilapidated buildings is crucial not only for the aesthetic renewal of our towns, but also for unlocking the potential of underutilised spaces, creating new opportunities for business and enhancing both civic pride and quality of life for residents. Accordingly, this Council calls for the establishment of a pilot programme aimed at incentivising the restoration and redevelopment of vacant and derelict properties in Newry and Downpatrick. This pilot program should focus on providing financial incentives such as grants, low interest loans or other forms of support to property owners who are committed to refurbishing these buildings and to bring them back into productive use. This council also requests that a report be brought to the relevant committee within 3 months outlining the steps to develop the pilot program, including potential eligibility criteria, financial incentives and funding sources from existing government initiatives and timelines for implementation. Additionally, Council is requested to explore collaboration with government agencies, including the Department for Communities, the Department for Infrastructure and other relevant bodies to co-opt existing funding mechanisms such as the Urban Regeneration and Community Development Schemes or Neighbourhood Renewal Funding to support this initiative. And the motion will be seconded by Councillor Galbraith.
Thank you very much, Councillor Fahan. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, item number 16, notice of motion, Festival for Newry City, and understanding under 16.1.6, this will be heard at ART. Councillor Finn, would you like to read your motion and tell us the second?
Yeah, absolutely. Newry Morning Down District Council commends the work and success of Eats and Beats, Footsteps in the Forest and Wake the Giant, and agree to commencing work towards a festival for Newry City, and it will be seconded by Councillor Fahan.
Thank you very much, Councillor Finn. That is us for this evening. See you at home, everyone.